Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Hey, Power Movers, how are we doing? Today I've got Brandon Moon on with me, and he is going to talk to us about business and finance, how to get yourself ready to do what you need to do. Welcome, Brandon, and yeah, just maybe introduce yourself.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I'm Brandon Moon. I'm in Dallas, Texas. I have a family, two daughters, and a lovely wife. We've been here since 2022, moved up from Houston, which is where I have all my business experience and pretty much started all over. And yeah, it was quite the journey.
And just very briefly, what does your company do now?
So my partner and I started TD Pine Advisors. We focus on value growth for business owners, small business owners. We focus on $2 million to $30 million revenue businesses. And the whole focus of our business is understanding where the owner wants to go, where they're looking to go within the next 5 to 10 years, and then helping them create the roadmap to get there.
Awesome. So that's a really interesting point to start on. And we'll jump around a bit. EBITDA, how you value a company, what you think you've got. So many people I work with, I get to them, and the very first thing that we talk about is, what's your company worth, actually? Yeah. And they're like, yeah, I'm turning over $1 million or $2 million or $5 million. So it's probably worth about, and they've got no concept. And then
right.
You start saying, okay, let's actually just work it out. How much profit did you make last year? I made 150,000. Okay. So how much is your salary? That's about X. Okay. So now if you leave, then how much are you actually going to have to pay someone to do your job? Ooh, I'm gonna do my job.
Yeah, we refer to that as transferable value. And so many people talk about business value, business valuation. I'm going to pay somebody to do a discounted cash flow model to understand what the business is worth. But that's really just valuing the cash flow. That's not valuing the business. The business has its systems, its people, its how dependent is it on the owner. There's 9 value drivers that we look at from a business value perspective. My partner's a CFA, so he absolutely does the discounted cash flow model to value if there's real estate or if there's a cash flow. But then we really dive deeper into, yeah, but are you able to take a 6-month vacation? What happens if you just walked away from the business? What happens? And they say it won't survive. A buyer is going to look at it the exact same way. And buyers have, in a lot of cases, a multitude of options. And are they going to buy your job or are they going to buy somebody else's asset? So that's our focus, is turning jobs into assets.
Yeah. One of my experiences, probably 2018, I was approached by a group to buy my IT group. And they, I knew I had £1 million profit every year. And I was offered, I think, $4 million. And I'm like, what? That's not right. The multiplier is this. And it's like, yeah. And I said, okay, yeah, but that $4 million is contingent on you staying for 3 years. And I'm like, okay, I've got to fix something now. And that's
right.
When I started doing having the business coaching. And at that stage, I was really stuck in the weeds. And yeah, I had to be there, had to follow through. And that's a big lesson for business owners, right? I think, business owners, we birthed this baby, right? Yeah, let's talk about
right.
it. We both got kids. And when you first have the idea for the baby, or when you first have the idea, you're like, oh, it's going to be great. Yeah, I've got this new. And what we're doing is we're saying, here is something that I'm presenting to the world. I'm solving a problem in the world, and we're passionate about it, and we believe in it. Yeah, very few business owners that actually say, I want to just make money and go out and do that, actually make anything. If they don't have a passion for it, if they don't believe in it, if they're not really engaged in it, they don't seem to last longer than 2 or 3 years. Then they go out, we go out in the world and we bring this baby in. You've got a baby now, yeah. And you were just saying, you're 1 year old,
Right.
just finally sleeping, you're here, finally sleeping through the night. That first 2 years of, I can't sleep, I can't do anything, I'm working 15 hours a day. Yeah.
Right.
And then you go into the next stage, and the next stage is actually now they're getting a little bit older, they can actually interact with you, they can talk, and things are better, and it grows up a little bit. And the same in the business, you can actually start taking a little bit of a backseat, but you got to watch them. You got to watch the business. Then we have the teenage years,
Right.
and they don't want to talk to you. Things aren't, it's just, you're now suddenly, the devil incarnate, and everything is, and you haven't got there yet, but it's
I
coming,
haven't got there yet,
it's
but
coming,
it's coming.
and but what we're doing as a business owners, we're actually building something that, the same as a child. We're building something, our child, our babies, it's something we want to give to the world. It needs to be able to go out in the world by itself, and so,
I love that analogy, and I've talked about this before, is that so many business owners stay in that it's a baby concept, right? And I know that as I'm raising my daughters, what I want them to experience is different things, different ideas. I want to put them around the right people who can give perspectives that are different than mine. I want them to, because all of these different interactions are going to eventually get them to a point where they can make their own decisions and they can be healthy adults. And that's what we should all want as parents. But so many business owners use the analogy of it's my baby, but you still look at it as if it's a toddler or an infant, right? And only when a business owner can look at it as I'm creating a path for it to become a self-sufficient adult, do they start to understand I have to put the right systems in place. I have to hire the right COO or the right CEO or the right person. And it's not just relinquishing control, right? You create your guardrails, you create your ways of making sure that the end goal is in mind. You make sure that they're doing the right things. If you still keep the analogy of going through the adolescent years, right? Are they staying up late? Are they actually doing their homework? Are there's guardrails that you're checking through through this whole journey, but you still have to allow them to get their own legs and to run.
Yeah, 100%. So let's just go through. I love asking the question of your experience, just a little bit of your experience, and then we dig into that step, right? Yeah, I take people. One of the things I do is I teach cold exposure and take people into ice baths, right? And
Right.
the thing with that is, there's a moment you get there and you're like, I did my ice bath this morning. I really didn't feel like it. I've done thousands of them. I still don't want to get in, and that's the power. There's this point where I've got these people through this whole journey. It's a half-day journey normally, and they get to the ice. It's now the final thing. The body's all prepared for it as much as they can with breath work and other things. And I say to them, step, step, and go. And at some point, you need to step and go into your entrepreneurial journey. For you, I'd love to understand what that looked like.
Yes, I started a mechanical engineering background. I worked in the chemical plants at a college. It was a fast-paced environment. My background as a maintenance engineer would be providing technical support if the equipment fails. And the units that I supported were $1 million a day in revenue. And so time was money. So if any failure happens, it was all about getting to a solution and helping the team. So I supported the millwrights and the pipe fitters and the people who did the work. And so I'd provide the technical analysis of is the repair the right repair and are we going to be able to sustain runtime? Did that for a few years. It was amazing experience. I would highly recommend it for any engineering discipline. Great learning environment. But at some point it felt stale. So I went back for my MBA, knew that I wanted to travel and found an opportunity as an oil and gas consultant.
There's some trouble there, right?
Did some travel there, yes. I went to Alaska quite a bit, which was great. It was great seeing a completely different environment than Houston, Texas. But at some point, I realized it was not about adding value to client. It's about maximizing billable hours. And it's just not where my heart was. And I have these fond memories of talking with my grandfather. I actually grew up with my grandfather. I moved in when I was in fifth grade with my mom. And so was really close to him. He had a sensor manufacturer. So he manufactured temperature sensors, thermocouples, RTDs, thermal wells. They go into a lot of oil and gas, but it's a great product in that it can be in so many different verticals. It can be in food and beverage, it can be in power generation, it can be in aerospace, it can be in so many different applications. But typically, you have a sensor manufacturer who's focused, they're very siloed on whatever the founder knows best. And so, in my grandfather's case, it was oil and gas. And I had these fond memories of just talking shop with him. And growing up with him, I started sweeping the floors when I was a kid, right? I cleaned the toilets. I did all of the things that the son or grandson of a business owner does.
What an amazing opportunity to
Yeah.
learn. Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And I always knew at some point my path would cross and I'd join the family business, but I always felt like I needed to go get my own experience. And so that was the college years, that was the MBA, that was all of that stuff. And then at some point, I felt like the corporate life was just soul sucking. And I called my grandfather and said, "Hey, I think I'm ready to help you retire. I know you've talked to me about being chained to the business, right?" He's at this point 68. All the customers call him, all the employees go to him. He just didn't feel like he could step away and retire. And so I said, "Hey, I'm confident. I feel like I've got some experience that I can bring to the table. And I think now is the time." And he said, "That's great, but talk to the family first, because there's other family members in the business." And they'd really been there since high school. And so they didn't have the kind of outside experience that I was hoping to leverage to grow the business. And I had these conversations with each of the family members. And I said, "Look, I'm going to come here to grow the business. I'm not here to work in the business. That's two different things, right? That means we're going to be making changes. We're going to be doing things to be different and to grow." And everybody was on board. So in 2014, took a significant pay cut to go run the family business. And it was okay. I wanted to do it because I felt now gratified, right? Now you're making changes that are actually affecting and improving people's lives. There's employees, there's family, there's also I had a deep connection with the customer base. And so when I started, I was engineering, sales, and operations is all of the hats that I wore right out the gate. And so one of the things that I saw, especially during the oil and gas downturn in 2015, is we were heavily diverse, or we were heavily tied to oil and gas. And one of my first missions was to help us start diversifying. So we got into power generation, food and beverage, medical. We had some really good customers that I built really good relationships with. And we actually acquired our first business in 2015. It was a supplier. We had a 2-year backlog on our products. That's a whole story I could go into, but I'll spare the details. The key part of it is that father of the business had passed away, and son was an operations manager at a very large company. And so at night, he would fulfill orders because he didn't want the legacy to die on him. And obviously, he didn't tell any of his customers this. And so I'm calling him pretty much once a month saying, "Where's the shipment? Where's the shipment?" And he stopped essentially answering the phone calls and voicemail full. So I bought a plane ticket, flew to Connecticut, and said, "Hey, where's the shipment?" And then that's when I found all of the details. Father passed away, and there's no end to that strategy, right? If you're just gonna go in and try to fulfill orders, then let's figure out how we can work together. And we ended up buying their intangibles. We bought inventory and moved it down to Houston, and he was able to liquidate. And he was thrilled because nobody else was offering him any legacy to keep the business going. And that's what we offered him. So he was ecstatic. We got the control of our supply chain that we were looking for. It was a win-win for sure. By 2018, my grandfather felt confident enough to retire. He retired. I started growing the business more without really any restraints. I had a resolution letter that gave me the authority to raise capital, buy businesses. I could hire or fire. I just couldn't change equity, which was fine. Didn't need to. My thought was, is if I grow the business, the whole family is going to benefit from this, and it's going to be a win-win for everybody. And then COVID happened. COVID was our second best year because we had diversified into power generation, food and beverage, and medical, right? If we'd still been tied to oil and gas at this point when it was, what, negative $30 a barrel for West Texas crude, that would have hurt. And the diversifying strategy that we had early on was really successful. We hired 4 people during COVID. I think all in all, we lost 4% of sales off of our best year. And so it was a real success, I would say. And I know that it was a very difficult time for a lot of people. It allowed us to give opportunities to people that had gotten laid off. And that's the real power of having a good strategy, is you can use it to help people as you grow, right? Coming out of COVID, oil and gas is coming back. I'm working 80-hour work weeks, trying to figure out how can we grow any faster than 10%, pulling my hair out. My wife is saying, why did you take a 50% pay cut to come do this?
Oh,
And
gosh.
yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I just didn't have an answer. And one of my CNC operators saw the stress and said, hey, you need to talk to this guy. And he gave me the resume of a plant manager that he had worked under before. And it was amazing. We had a conversation. He had the skill set to replace me. And so I hired him, right? I hired him to be my chief operating officer. He could do operations, he could fight the fires, he could make sure that I had the time to look at strategically where the business is going. It was absolutely amazing. We grew 60% organically in 1 year. It was great times. How do you keep that growth going? It's very difficult organically. So we went back into M&A. We looked for our second acquisition. It was a competitor. Similar story to the previous acquisition. 50% of the ownership passed away. The other 50% of the ownership, one of them had been there for 40 years, but still didn't understand just the business dynamics. And as you lose customers, you need to cut expenses. And how do you go get new customers to replace attrition? They just didn't have that skill set. And it had just really floundered. And we came in and we bought their intangibles. They liquidated everything else. But the book of business that we bought was absolutely amazing. Most of the people wouldn't give our mom and pop shop the time of day. And so we bought a seat at the table to compete with the big dogs. It was, again, great times in the history of our growth. And then my grandfather passed away in October or September of 2023. And I can give you all the horror stories of family dynamics and what happens. And it took 2 months for me to realize it was time to resign. So I resigned. And I think that everybody in the family were trying to make the decisions that they felt were right. I don't think anybody was malicious in any way, but there were still just things that were done that can't be undone. And it was time for me to go chart my own path. And so that was the birth of TD Pine Advisors, is that there's so much experience there packed into a small punch that you have to plan with that end in mind. And if you don't know where you're going, you don't know when you got there, and you just keep on wandering. And a lot of people look at exit planning and that kind of stuff as a bad word, or showing no emotions to the baby that we're birthing. But in reality, that's not the case. You're actually doing your family, your employees, a disservice when you're not thinking about where you're going.
I think I'd love to just pick up on a couple of those points. But firstly, something you said there was really, I had a similar experience. And it's this concept of actually being able to let go of something. I've spoken about my adventure center that I purchased in 2018, just before COVID, which was a passion. I loved the place. I just wanted it to do well. And there's, yeah, it's, and I'm in that, yeah, total belief in myself that I can make anything work. And I've always had that belief. And yeah, I just kept on throwing money. I lost millions. I just kept on throwing money into it and putting time into it and doing everything. But there's a moment that you have to get to when you realize letting go is the only option. It took you 2 months. So hats off to you. It took me a year and a half. It took me a year and a half. I ended up in the hospital with a burst colon. I ended up, almost taking my own life. Yeah, this is again, this is almost back to the kid thing. When your baby is suffering, you're suffering, right? To your point of exit planning isn't exit planning. And I wish we would change the name of that. We want to change the name of to that to something like, I don't know, going out in the world planning, just being free planning. And for me, the whole concept of changing the businesses around, because I still have my three IT companies and I run those. And I have those IT companies, I spend 5 hours a week on them. Right. And now I'm building all the power so that I can go and help people get to the same point. Over the last 2 months, I've been in Egypt for 10 days. I've been in France for a week. I'm now in the States. Okay. Freedom is what we get into this for. Being able to travel, being able to see the world, being able to do things. And as the kid grows up, when you have a kid and the kid's kind of going through the things, you can't go and do all of those things with freedom. You can still go and travel and stuff for sure, but you can't do it with freedom. When the kid gets to university, my daughter's in university, then you can go and do what it is. And it's the same for businesses, right? You like you, I 100% agree. You're doing your staff, you're doing your company, you're doing your customers a real disservice if you are the bottleneck, right?
Absolutely.
If everything has to come through you. And you are the bottleneck, then you're doing nobody a service. And I'm just going to carry on with that a little bit. What was your mental state when you got there? How badly did that affect you?
Oh man, that is an amazing question because it was bad. For the past 10 years, that was my heart, my blood, sweat, and tears went into that. I obviously didn't own the business, but I certainly ran it as if I did. And obviously, you could tell that I'm still getting emotional about it, and this is 2 years later. So it still has left a deep impact. But immediately after that, I'll be really candid here. I've struggled with alcohol and things in my past, and I'm 8 years sober, and I knew that is a trigger, right? That can cause, you can certainly spiral from something like that. And so I really reached out to people who knew my story and had some deep conversations with them. And one person, so I resigned on a Friday. On Sunday, I had lunch with someone I consider a mentor, and he said, "Have you tried F3?" I said, "No, what's F3?" He said, "It's a workout group. You should go." And so he said, "Just check out this website, f3nation.com, and just be open-minded. Just try it." It has changed my life. So it's a free workout group. It's men. It focuses on F3 is faith, is fitness, fellowship, and faith. It's religion agnostic. It doesn't matter what the religion is. You just have to believe in a higher power, right? There's a higher power that's greater than yourself. And there's so much power in there's several aspects of the workout group. One, that it's free, and the second one, it's always outdoors, and it's always at usually early in the morning, 5:30, 6 in the morning. And so I looked at the map, and there was a location. There's 4,900 locations in the U.S. And so I looked at the map, and there was one about 5 miles from my house. And so I just showed up. Nobody knew me. I didn't know anybody else. And they welcomed me with open arms. It was exactly what I needed in my life at that time. And it allowed me to start focusing on my mental health, my physical health, my spiritual health. And it was rough, but without that, it would have been 10 times worse. And like I said, I started Monday after resigning on a Friday, right? So there was a 3 day gap where I was really floundering. But from then on, I had a new purpose, I had a new vision. And essentially, it took 4 months of going through that I realized that I'm ready to go start my own business. And so that was when I started a consulting business. And then about 3 months later, I met my partner in a networking event through F3, and he had just immigrated from Brazil. He was the CFO of a 2,500 employee business, helped them turn around over 6 years from pre-bankruptcy before COVID to coming out. They doubled revenue. They delevered by 5 times. It was an amazing turnaround story. I don't want to take anything away from his story. It's amazing. Before then, he was private equity, and before then, he was investment banking. So he has seen all of the different aspects in high finance. And it's like, wow, this is a great relationship that can really amplify the operations business development side of the coin that I focus on. And so that's when we started TD Pine, and it was all through F3.
I will certainly get him on at some point as well. Maybe you'll both come back. Now, thank you so much for sharing that. I think business owners need to realize that 70% of business owners, small business owners, are near burnout. And one of the things that really strikes me about the whole process is nobody realizes how lonely it is, right?
Yes.
And it's just this whole thing. You go into it, and for me, and I'll be a bit flippant, and I don't mean to be, but you go into it and you have this great idea, and you're like, okay, here we go. And then you tell your wife about it, and you tell your friends about it. By the third time you're talking about it, their eyes glaze over.
Absolutely.
And so
Absolutely.
then you go and work with all these people, and you to be a good leader, you can't be their friends. You can
Right.
be friendly, but you can't have that deep connection. That allows you to really, and people will argue with me and people will disagree. But at some point, you need to turn around and say, okay, let's have a difficult conversation. So, unless you are a real friend, those difficult conversations, which come from trust, which come from, are quite difficult. So, I just think we really need to address this issue of loneliness in, for business owners.
And it's absolutely true.
How have you found that? Have you?
And I coach a lot of entrepreneurs on this too, is that they're like, "I talked to my dad about this, and this is the feedback that they're giving." Is, "But has your dad ever started a business from scratch?" "No, he's a manager at," and like, "then he's probably not the person you need to lead on for advice." And I'm sorry that to say that, but You want to be talking to the people who are going or have been to where you want to go and get the feedback that's going to help you get to where you want to go. And yeah, sometimes that means that you need to change your mentors as you evolve, right? Because sometimes your path changes. Sometimes you've actually, in a flippant way, but I'm not trying to be, sometimes you might elevate past yourself, past a certain mentor, right? And you can still be friendly with them, but you really should be getting that type of advice from people who have experienced the pain and the triumph of where you're trying to go. I heard a saying that's really powerful, I think, is that the people that you surround yourself can either be your cage or your circle. And it's absolutely true, right? Is that people, just like you were talking about, you go to your friends and your family, and you talk about all of these dreams and hopes. And sometimes it's not even that they just glaze over. Sometimes that's not possible, or that there's so much negativity. And it's nice to stay grounded. But at some point, if you've got a passion, if you've got a vision, nobody else is going to believe in it as much as you do. And so you have to stay focused and make it real.
Yeah. I mean, there's 2 points there I want to touch on. One is the passion and the vision as it applies to your staff. And the second one really is this idea of getting the coaching, right?
Right.
Because, and I'm going to give you an example. So I skydive. I've done 2,500 skydives. I've got a British record for a skydiving head down, which is the most difficult part of skydiving. And, when I started skydiving, I bought time in a wind tunnel. Was one of the first ones that was opened in the UK. And I was a stubborn bastard. I was paying £600 an hour for this wind tunnel time. And you only fly a small 10 minutes at a time, so it's not as bad as it sounds. But I was going to learn it myself, right? So I just went and went. So 6, 7 hours of just banging my head against the wall, and not knowing. And then a friend of mine said, look, just get a coach. I'm like, the coach is 200 quid an hour. I'm not going to pay that.
Right.
Why am I going to pay? I've already paid all this. And then he got his coaching license and he's okay, I'm going to coach you just for half an hour. And then that half an hour, I learned more than I did in the 6 hours before
Right.
because he had made the mistakes and he had gone through them. And then I got to the situation where it's like, okay, so now I'm paying him. Okay, good sales technique for sure. And then I got stuck in this idea of actually, I don't want to leave him. I felt loyal to him. I made a decision. No, I like what that guy's doing. I like what that guy's doing. I like how that guy's doing it. And I change my coaches all the time, right? Or I have multiple coaches at once. I've got three business coaches at the moment, right? Three different business coaches. They
Right.
have different skill sets and they have different things that I can learn from them. I got a Daniel Priestley. I'm paying 10 grand for a Daniel Priestley course, which is all about becoming a key person of influence. I'm paying for Russell Brunson. I've got Scott Abbott, who's just written an amazing book called Momentum. So I've got all these coaches that I work with because that's the way that I learn and that's where I get things in. And when I learned that, my learning just went really flew through the roof. And so that's really something that people need to take away. And the second thing that I wanted to come back to is this idea of your passion, right? So we have this passion, we have this vision, and we go through it. And as entrepreneurs, what we do is we employ some staff. And we say, okay, so come in and do this. And then we're not that clear. Because we are so busy, we're so fast in our head, it's coming out of our mouth and it's not being coming out correctly. So we say, I'll say, Brandon, come on, I want you to do this and this and this. Do you get it? And you're like, yeah, because you don't want to look bad in front of me. You have no idea what I'm talking about or what I'm thinking. And then you go off and do it and you do a shit job. You come back to me and I'm like, I told you what to do. What the hell? And you're like, but and you can't quite articulate it. When I understand as the business owner that firstly, it's my vision. It's my passion. I'm there with a big payday in my future. This guy's there to work as an hourly person or a daily person or a monthly person. He hasn't got that passion. When I understand that, then I can be a little bit more clear. I don't need the job done at my level. I need the job done at 60% or 70% of my level. Then that's good. Because no one's ever going to do the job as well as I can, in my head. And then the second piece is, how do I communicate that correctly? And this is a big lesson that AI's taught me. How much are you using AI at the moment?
We're using it every day, all day, just as a second brain or a third brain in our case, to help us think through things that we're blind on, right?
And the thing with AI that people aren't seeing is AI actually teaches you how to communicate better. Because when you say, okay, ChatGPT, I'd like you to help me with this and this. you get rubbish out. And you're like, yeah, okay. And AI is trained on the human condition. So AI is a reflection of us. So when we put shit in, we get shit out. Yeah. So slowly but surely, you're like, oh, okay, I need to do this. I need to be clear. I need to set the context. I need to set the output that I want. I need to set the guardrails up correctly. I need to understand that AI is actually a yes man and it'll tell me what I want to hear. So I need to put these things in correctly. And suddenly we start communicating better. And then we can communicate better with our loved ones and with our staff. And yeah, excuse me. So this AI evolution that's happening at the moment, I love what you said there about you used to think. I get up in the morning. And I'll say, okay, yeah, I don't know. Do you journal or have you journaled?
I have not journaled.
I know I should journal, right? And I just can't journal.
Right.
No, my handwriting is, I should have been a doctor, basically, on read it.
Same here.
Yeah. But now I get up and I'm like, okay, yeah, what's going on? And when you have that ADHD kind of, we're all ADHD, I think it's a superpower. And there's 15 things, 17 tabs open in your brain, right?
Right.
Or 100, I get there. I'm like, okay, ChatGPT or Claude or whoever you're using, I want to just do a brain dump. Yeah, I want to use this brain dump in order to help me formulate my thoughts. Yeah, I have a couple of goals that I'm going to trying to get done this week. Yeah, and I want you to help me prioritize them. Yeah, this is just going to be a flow of information. Yeah, and just going to get everything that's in my brain out. And then I go, yeah, until I don't have anything left in there to think about. And that then kind of spits out. And then I've got a task list of things to do in the order I need to do them. And then I'll say, right, now, be my brainstorming buddy. And I'll put it
Right.
up to the voice mode because you have a different set of pathways working in your brain when
Yeah,
you do these
absolutely.
things in a different way. So then I'll stick it on my whiteboard and I'm like, okay, so just brainstorm with this with me. Act as my thought partner. I'm going to remain the thought leader. There's a book by Jeff Woods, which is pretty good, called The AI-Driven Leader, if you haven't heard.
I have not.
And then we just brainstorm. And says, oh, and you go back and forth. And yeah, one of the things I loved as a business owner was getting a bunch of people in the room together with a problem and just talking about it. Because as soon as you start talking about it, you're like, oh, yeah. And as soon as when you start telling jokes at a family barbecue, you tell
Right.
one joke and then somebody remembers one and then someone and it just flows. If you were to try and sit there and tell 10 jokes, there's no ways you would be able to. It's that same that's how we work as humans. So just those two things in terms of how you think, allow us to evolve so much more.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but then there's this other piece of actually knowing that the tool is there and you need to use it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're feeling these things, you can say, okay, let's go. Yeah, I need to go and do this. So recognizing, first of all, in that process. Now, yeah, so that's a plan A. I want to really come back to your 5 a.m. starts to go to your F3 group. And I'm going to look at
Yes.
that. I think that's just lovely, right? And I get up in the morning. I get up at 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5.
Yes.
Yeah, I then go and do my breath work, okay? And I don't know if you've tried breath work yet, but
I have not.
if you haven't, I will go through some breath work with you. It
Oh.
changed my life, right?
Wow.
Saved my life. Yeah, the concepts and the processes of it, basically, when you breathe properly, you actually are able to release emotions because emotions are chemical from your brain, okay? And yeah, so when you have a thought, your thought says, okay, this is the situation. Oh, I nearly got run over by a car. Okay, I need to go to sympathetic mode. Get ready to run. Sends all those chemicals into your body. Yeah, those chemicals sit in your body. Yeah, and then the next thing that happens, the chemicals layer on top. And for me, breath work every day is a way that I can just come in and I can clear those chemicals, right? Yeah, and I use this with the people I coach. I'm like, okay, just try this. Yeah, and I've only had one person in a few thousand I've trained that can do it. Yeah, and it changed my life. And then I go and do meditation. So I'm up, I do 20 minutes of breath work. I do half an hour meditation. People look at me and say, I can't meditate. I couldn't meditate. I just couldn't. There was no ways I could meditate. But once the breath work cleared my mind, I have the capacity to meditate.
Nice.
Right.
Nice.
I jump on my PT. I do 15 minutes of PT, just get the blood flowing. And then I jump into my ice bath. And for
Nice.
me, yeah, if you look at each of those things individually, right, breath work, it has all these benefits. Meditation has all these benefits. PT has all these benefits. Ice bath has. So by the time I spent that hour and a half in the morning, doing all these things, I've stacked all of these benefits. Right? And now my energy is right.
Nice.
Yeah, so now I'm giving myself 20% more energy to focus on today. Because
Yes.
what we do as humans is we think about the past, and thinking about the past makes us depressed. We think about
Yep.
the future. Yeah, and thinking about the future makes us anxious. So we get up in the morning and we're like, oh, shit, I wish I did that yesterday. And this happened, and I've still got that thing to think about. And yeah, we give 30% of our energy to the past. Then we're like, oh shit, I've got to get that thing done in 2 weeks' time. I've got that presentation to do. And that's starting to, and we give 30% of our energy to our future. Now we don't have 100% energy to work on today. We've only got 40%. Yeah. So understanding this physiology as a business person, as a business owner, yeah, just gives you so much more power. I've done, with AI's help and this methodology, in the last 6 months, I've done 7 years worth of work.
Wow. And I fully believe it. And like for F3, right? It helped me in ways that I would never have imagined, right? Because as I was running the last business, everybody says, you need to focus on your physical health, right? You need to do more exercise and you need to do this. And I was like, but I have these orders to ship. I have
When,
these people. Yeah,
right?
when am I planning
When.
on doing that? And you put all of your heart and your effort into those things. And you realize that if you focus on yourself, you can be more present in those moments and make better decisions, be more productive in that short amount of time, just like what you said. And obviously hindsight's 2020, but I'm sitting there thinking is, man, if I would have found F3 while I was going through the last 10 years, and you mentioned that it took 2 months to make that decision. Ultimately, it took years of everything just piling and building up and piling and building up and piling and building up. And I had no outlet that helped me in a healthy way. And the F3 has helped change my mentality before going back into creating a business. And fully honest, now that I have a 1-year-old, sleeping through the night has been challenging. So I haven't been as involved in my routine as I was before she was born. And I'm longing for the day that I can get back into the routine. But that's the thing is, you keep an open mind about anything that you can do to change your mental state and help you be more present. Try it. Be open to it.
Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you and your partner can join through a 20-minute breathwork session, right? 20-minute breathwork session. Yeah, and at the end of that 20-minute breathwork session, I'm going to get a review from you. Yeah, and yeah, then I'm going to leave you with the tool to actually do it. If you can spend just 20 minutes in your day, yeah, which nobody can tell me they can't put aside, you can spend 20 minutes in your day doing that, and it makes a difference. Yeah, would that help?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, we'll do it.
All
We'll do
for
it.
it.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, and yeah, like you say, one of the things that we do as humans is we give ourselves excuses to not do something. Yeah, you do yoga. Oh, yoga is amazing. I feel great, and then we don't do it. I do PT, and then we don't do it. And yeah. With all due respect, what you're doing at the moment is giving yourself excuses. Okay, 1-year-old, pretty good excuse, but it's an excuse. But yeah. You know what's happening in that three process. There's nothing stopping you going out into your garden for 20, 10 minutes, 15 minutes and doing some exercise. There's nothing stopping you reaching out to the people on there and just having a chat. There's nothing. There is something stopping you. It's your mind. Our minds are engines which are really designed to keep us using as little energy as possible. We stay in the comfortable known rather than the uncomfortable unknown. And it's the same as getting in the ice bath. This morning I stood there and I looked at the damn thing and I'm like, really? I don't need to, nobody's watching me. I don't need to do this. Why am I doing this? And then you have to step over that. And then you get in the ice bath and you're like, okay, damn, this is hard. And then 15 or 20 seconds later, you're like, oh, and it all just goes away. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And your body just goes through this amazing physical process. Yeah, and I get out of it, I'm like smiling again. Now I'm ready. But it's that you need to have that thing that pushes you over that to step and go. Yeah. So how do you habit stack that? How do you get up in the morning and give yourself that time? Because then you're going to be more present for your wife. You're going to be more present for your 1-year-old. You're going to be more present, for your business and for your business partner and for your customers. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And those are all things that you hold very dear to yourself, but you don't do the best for them because you're looking at yourself and you're saying, I don't have the time. Yeah, you don't have the time not to, right?
Absolutely.
Let me ask you another question. And yeah, having not done that for your what for a while, one of the things that I found mental health was it's a long, gentle slope until the edge of the cliff, and then it's a drop. It really is. So, how did I get here? How do you feel now compared to when you were doing your F3 regularly?
That's a great question. Just to put it in perspective, I was doing the F3 regiment 6 days a week for probably a good 8 months. Did 75 hard during that time. I don't know if you're familiar with 75 hard. I went through all
Good
three
for you, good for
phases.
you, you crazy bastard.
Went through all three phases. So when I say I was head first, I was absolutely head first into it all. And you feel alive. There's no other way of saying it. You just feel alive. And then, like you said, you get back into things that are comfortable. You get back into, and you have to push yourself to get into those. I haven't completely broken off of F3. I still go on occasion, certainly not as much as I would like to, and I will show up tomorrow just from your urging, right? But what I will say is it is a gradual slope. And I feel like incrementally you don't notice the change. But when you look back on a few months ago, you're like, man, I felt better then. You don't notice the day-to-day difference. And so thankfully, I don't think I'm at the cliff yet, so I can regroup and start climbing again.
But just take that image of that cliff, that whatever it looks like to you. And
Yeah, for sure.
every time you get up in the morning, and put your self time. For me, it's I put my self time first. I get up at 4:30, well, 4:45, and the world's quiet and everything is there's no distractions, and and I'm like, okay, I have to love myself. I have to love myself first before I can actually love anybody else. And that's such a difficult concept for us to do because we're always serving. We're always out there serving people. We're serving our family. We're
Absolutely.
serving customers. We're serving everyone else. But if I do this, then I can do that. I can give more love. I can give more kind of compassion. I can give more care if I'm in the right place. Take an image of that cliff that you've got, or that drop, or that whatever it is, and think about that first. But why am I doing this? Ask yourself that
Right.
question. Why am I doing this? Yes, it's hard, but I'm doing it because of that. And I don't want to put anybody else through it.
Right. Yes.
Anyways,
That's good. That's good.
what my thoughts. It's been a great chat. We're almost at the hour. So I want you to think about one bit of advice that you could give business owners, right? What's one thing that you've got a lot of experience now? You've done so many amazing things. You've learned so many lessons. So what would one thing that you would tell people to really focus on and think about?
I would say don't let pride get in your way.
I
There's
love
so
that.
many business owners that wear that badge, that they're proud of how hard they're working, they're proud of what they've created and that kind of stuff, and so they don't want to bring in that outside help. And honestly, a lot of times that can create a glass ceiling that's going to limit just growth, possibilities, opportunities, all of the things. And it's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to find the people who can amplify your message and your passion. And so just don't let pride be the reason that you get stuck.
Amazing. Brandon, thank you so much for joining. It's been an amazing chat. And if people want to get hold of you, I'll put your contact details on the podcast. But what's your preferred channel?
Love LinkedIn, heavily involved on LinkedIn. Our website is a great place to go. We have a few assessments on there, so appreciate you putting that link in there.
Roger. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks, Roy.
Thanks for listening to Power Movers, the podcast from All the Power. Our mission is to help business owners reclaim their time, reset their energy, and live the life they love. If this episode sparked something for you, your next step is simple. Take the fit check at allthepower.co.uk. It's a short clarity tool that helps you see where you are, what's getting in the way, and what might be possible if you have the right system. When you're ready, come and join the tribe. Power Movers start with our signature framework called Elevate 360. A system built to help you escape survival mode, create structure, and move forward with power. Just remember, everything we share here is based on real stories, experience, and frameworks. It's not personal business advice. Always speak to a coach or advisor before making big decisions. Because in the end, it's about more than business. It's about building a life that you actually love. I'm Roy Castleman, and I'll see you in the next episode.